Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for everyone who is here. And Lord, we know we live in uncertain times, in fact, desperate times, really. And Lord, today we just want to focus upon you. We've got our heads full of stuff. Things have got to happen. But Lord, we put all that to one side and we just pray right now for the next 30 minutes, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts very strongly through your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I mentioned this a couple of times to different people and to our leaders, but I'm actually delighted to announce that we're going to start, and we're going to start today, an 8-part series based on the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. How about that? How about that? And today is going to be the first part, and we're going to start off, we're going to ease ourselves in. And maybe you've never heard of the book of Romans, and that's okay. The book of Romans is found in the Bible, in the New Testament of the Bible, and it's actually one of the most profound books in existence. And it's actually, the book of Romans is probably the most, one of the most valued parts of the Holy Scriptures. It was written by, anybody know who it was written by, the book of Romans? Yeah, the Apostle Paul, around about AD 60. Now, we've never done an 8-part series. We've done 3-part, 4-part, but 8-part is quite a long series. So this is actually something exciting, and it's new. And the reason for this unique series, this has actually been sitting in here for a while. Actually, I've got a couple of things sitting in my heart that I want us to cover this year. This, definitely. And then I want to do another series on giving. I haven't spoken about giving for a long time, and I'm feeling all stirred up about that. Not just finances, but the whole thing about the Christian ethos, generosity. That's for another time. But I really feel this is upon my heart. And the idea or the reason for this is to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. In these uncertain times, we all need to be strengthened and encouraged in our faith. Amen? And so this series is going to build you up without a doubt. And this series itself will gather momentum as we head towards the most powerful chapter in the entire Bible. Anybody know what that is? Romans chapter 8. And so this series is going to be wow, 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 wow. So when you come to church next Sunday, come with wow in your heart, amen, and a sense of expectation. And the more you feel wow about something, the more you're going to receive from the Lord, amen, amen. But I do have 2 challenges, or homework. Homework number one, or challenge number one is this, and I just want to put it out to us all. And I want to challenge everyone in this room to read the entire book of Romans. It actually has 16 chapters. We're just looking at the first 8. But read the entire book of Romans. It actually doesn't take that long. But so read it over at some point over the next 8 weeks. And the sooner the better. But when you read it, here's a tip. Read it slowly. In fact, that's a tip for all of the scriptures. Read it slowly. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if you've already read the book of Romans, then read it again and get into your mind and get it into your heart. The second challenge concerns memory verses. How about that? Here's a challenge to memorize 8 Bible verses. Can we do it? Oh, that was really enthusiastic. Lord, I'm speaking words of faith over this congregation today. They can do it. So I just want to encourage you to memorize the Bible verses throughout the series. So we're going to have 1 a week. And it's not going to be hard. They won't be long Bible verses. But it will be beneficial. So why not get on board and get the memory working? Rochelle, very quickly, got any tips for memorizing a Bible verse? Because you are so good at memorizing Scripture.
All right. Well, I suggest what you can do is try and find it in a song. The verse that you're trying to learn, if you could find it in a song. If you can't find it in a song, maybe put it to a song, you know, try and make your own song. You could use a tune of a song you already know and put the words to it, and that might help you make a little jingle of it. You could write it on or type it out on the computer and print it out, or write it by hand and stick it on the back of your toilet door. So that every time you go to the toilet, you see it and you read it. There's something else to do. Or you could make it onto a small card and carry it around with you in your pocket or your purse or something, and pull it out and read it every time you can. Or you could also write it onto a small card and put it on the dashboard of your car. And then when you get into the car, you just read it through. The only thing is, don't let that distract you while you're driving. No. You might have an accident. That could be a bit of a shame, wouldn't it? But that's about it, I think.
Yeah, and I like the suggestion where you said sing it, but also I think, Rochelle, it's important to say the verse.
Yeah, of course, say it over and over.
Yeah, you've got to speak it out, just not just say it in your head, because doesn't the scripture talk about let the redeemed say so? The redeemed,
that's right.
There's something powerful about speaking the word of God.
Yep.
So there's some tips. So I challenge everybody to read the book of Romans and see if you can memorize the scriptures and the memory verses. And the memory verses will be in the newsletter. So the first memory verse is already in the newsletter on the front page there. And so that's today's memory verse. Just a couple of things. Romans is a book about the gospel. And the word gospel means actually good news. And everybody needs some good news. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, wants his readers to understand how a sinner can be made righteous by Almighty God, and how that sinner can live a successful daily life to the glory of God. What is the good news all about? The good news of the gospel can be explained or described in six sentences. You've got them there on your TV screens. Number one, this is a good news. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by doing good deeds. That's why religion doesn't work, everybody. Number four, paying the price for our sin, Christ died and rose again. Number five, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. So number four, number five are really important. Paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Finally, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Amen? And you can see we've used the word gospel to do that as you look across. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17 is a concise summary of the entire book of Romans. And it says this, we've got it on the screens. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." We're the Gentiles. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved from your sins. The people at the front today are getting baptized only because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he's forgiven them of their sins. And now they are right with God. And that's what the baptism is all about today. So our first memory verse is the first part of our reading. Romans 1 verse 16. That's all we've got to remember this week. For I am not ashamed. Can we say that? I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work saving. You got the whole week to memorize that. Now, I want to put something out there just to give you some incentive, because I know you're looking for incentive. If you can memorize all of these eight verses, I'll give you a donut. Krispy Kreme? So we might be buying a couple of hundred donuts, but that's okay. That's okay. Anything to get you to memorize the Word of God. But the deal is, not seven, not six, all eight. All eight, donut. Seven, you can sniff the donuts. Amen? So that's about as good as it goes. So hopefully you're up for the challenge, and that's an easy memory verse to remember. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work saving everyone who believes. For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work saving everyone who believes. And this verse reminds me of a time, and a very long time ago, when I was ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ. And I just want to tell you about that time and what happened. I know, like you and a lot of people here this morning, that you can find it very hard to be a Christian. in some environments. Maybe some of the people we're baptizing today might even feel like that. It's easy to be a Christian here at church. Who knows that? Of course it is. But sometimes it's harder to be a Christian somewhere else. I know that some people here in our church are having a hard time being a Christian at home because you're the only Christian. And sometimes it's hard to be a Christian at work. And it's not that you don't want to be a Christian. You're really glad that you're a Christian. It's just that a lot of your friends, a lot of our friends at work, our work colleagues, they just don't agree with the Bible and church. And some people in our world, in our orbit, sometimes they actually get hostile. Sometimes they get angry when we want to talk about Jesus. And they tell you to keep your opinions to yourself while they're telling you their opinions. And it puts you under pressure because when you're made to look silly for what you believe. And sometimes you can feel ashamed. And for me, this is a really long time ago. It was actually, this was one of the times. It was in 1974. I was actually only 13 years of age, and I was in my first year at Belmont Senior High School. And there's a man here today who was with me in that school. That's Gary Butcher, Gary. And Mike Kingsford, yeah, Gary. And Mike Kingsford used to go to Belmont High School too, but he was a year ahead of me. That's why he looks a lot older than I do. He'll be in the next service, I think. And I didn't want anybody at the school, when I first went there initially, to know I was a Christian. And the reason for that was because Belmont Senior High School was a very rough and tough school. And everybody says that about this school, but it really was a bad school. It really was a bad school. Not only were there regular fights, there was the rival gangs. Skinheads were alive and well back then. And there was rival fights all the time amongst the students. But some of the teachers themselves were pretty bad. Some of them participated in the fights. I was particularly afraid of the metalwork teachers, and no offense, Alan, and the sports teachers were actually quite vicious. And when I say they were scary or vicious, I mean they actually treated the students quite badly, and that's enough of that. I was a sincere Christian. I was genuinely born again, absolutely I was, and I had been baptized in water fairly recently. And in that first year at high school, I was still trying to figure out if there was any other Christians there. And I was also trying to figure out with whom I could make friends. Who can be my friend in the school? You know, you come from primary school now, I've got to look for new friends. And one day in an art class, early in the piece, our regular teacher was away. And instead, we had a stand-in teacher who I'd never seen before. I used to like stand-in teachers coming along because you could have a lazy time. Amen. Yeah. Art did not interest me, and it still doesn't. But I went and sat by myself at the back of the classroom, away from everybody else. The standing teacher just handed out a sheet of paper and colouring pencils to all the students, including me. And then she said, draw whatever you want on your paper. And she then went and sat down and she just appeared completely disinterested in the class and she wasn't interested in art herself. So to pass the time away, I was by myself. I just started to doodle. I just doodled a cross. I love Jesus. And, you know, maybe John 3:16. Can't exactly remember what I drew, but stuff to do with Jesus. Coloured it in. Pass the time away. I expected that at the end of the class, we would all just throw our artwork in the bin. However, I was just horrified when 10 minutes before the end of the class, the standing teacher told everyone to put their pencils down because she wanted to examine what we had drawn. I just scribbled evidence of my Christian faith out on a piece of paper, and I did not want her, because I didn't trust her, I did not want her to see what I had drawn. I didn't know who she was, just this teacher I'd never seen before. And I did not want the other students to know what I'd drawn because I was looking for friends, not enemies. And I didn't want to get bashed up because I was a Christian, and at Belmont High School, that was a real possibility. I did not want my head pushed into a toilet. Who remembers those days? You know, in my day, we didn't get, you know, cyberbullying. We just put our heads down the toilet and flushed. Yeah. And I didn't want to be made fun of, and I didn't want the teacher to embarrass me because I already knew what some of the teachers were like. And so I felt ashamed of my faith, fearful of how others would react to me. Once they knew I went to church, it was going to be all over. And worse, there was no Christian schools to go to. This was it. This is a school I had to attend. And worst of all, I felt ashamed about feeling ashamed. At church, it was just so easy to be a Christian. But outside, I was discovering that it was pretty hard to be a Christian. And some of you are finding the same thing. So remember, I was seated at the back of the classroom, of the art class. And so I had to wait while the teacher started at the front and she looked at all the student, other students' work first. And she took her time. It was agonizing. Affirming each of the students. I was so afraid of how she was going to react to me. I thought she would pick up my work and show all the other students so they would giggle at it. And she was picking up other students' work and showing people how clever this particular student was. And I thought, oh, they're just going to giggle and laugh at me. And to a 13-year-old boy, that was a pretty big deal. Filled by fear, my imagination was working overtime. I just didn't know what to do. Do I run? Do I jump through the window? What do I do? My heart was racing. My hands were sweaty. Finally, I'm the last kid. She came to my desk. And even today, I look back on it. I was only 13, but I'm so embarrassed about what I did, about my behavior. I just didn't know what to do. So she stood there. I just threw myself on my desk. Covered all my work. So she actually couldn't see what I'd done. What was going to happen? And at that moment, you know, all the kids are going. At that moment, you know, you get all sorts of emotions, don't you? I just felt ashamed of being a Christian person. And there could have been another Christian in the class. If there was, I didn't know about it. And that emotion of being ashamed of being a Christian is a terrible feeling to experience because I was ashamed of being a Christian, but I really did love Jesus. At the same time, so you have these conflicting emotions going on the inside of you. It's horrible. And maybe you know what I'm talking about. However, the standing teacher calmly and gently, she was so sweet, she just gently lifted my arms off my work and then she just glanced at my page. And of course, I'm watching her face to see how she's going to respond. And then she caught me by surprise because she didn't react like I anticipated. The sweet teacher looked at me in the eyes, studied my face for a moment, and then she gave me a kind and gentle smile. And that was it. She said nothing. That was it. She didn't mock me. No one ridiculed me. And she just walked away. That teacher ended up being really good to me in the years ahead. I'm bragging here, but I ended up becoming the school captain. And she helped me to succeed in that. So isn't that interesting how that works out? But that early event just rocked my world, young world, because I felt terrible that I'd let the Lord down. And it's just nothing feels worse than that. You know what I mean? You let the Lord down. And I thought maybe God would reject me for being ashamed of knowing Him. That has to be the worst thing you could do to the Lord. Or so I thought. And I would not have blamed God for rejecting me because I'd been such a coward and I'd failed Him. In fact, I wanted to reject myself. Have you ever felt like that? You know, I'll beat God to it. I'll reject myself. You know? And so it's interesting our key verse, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ." And it's actually, when you think about it, it's kind of a strange thing for the apostle to write, really. Well, I think it is. Why did the Apostle Paul feel the need to write, "For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ"? Well, perhaps, and this is pure speculation, everybody, but perhaps Paul wrote it because at some time in his past, like me, he had also experienced shame or embarrassment for being a Christian, perhaps. Paul was an outstanding scholar. I think he was actually borderline genius, maybe a genius. And so he had academics for friends. And we know what academics are like. Amen. Praise God for the academics. But maybe his snobby academic colleagues who he respected had ridiculed him for his decision to follow Jesus Christ. And for a moment or two, maybe for a moment or two, he felt ashamed by their intimidating behavior and their comments towards him as he realized he was about to lose his friends. But since that possible crisis of faith moment, something good happened in Paul's heart so that years later he was able to boldly declare, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." It's actually interesting with the Apostle Paul because he ended up standing before the mighty emperor of the Roman Empire where he declared his faith in Jesus Christ. And many people in the emperor's palace actually got born again, and Paul even ended up laying his life down for the good news of Jesus because he was not ashamed. Amen. So, after being ashamed of my faith in the art room, the art class, I wrestled, and maybe some of you do, for quite some time with my emotions and my feelings about being a Christian out in the world. I spent time thinking about the things that my faith in Jesus would cost me. And over the years, at crossroads in my life, I visited that question from time to time, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're good thoughts to consider, as Jesus actually did urge us to count the cost. Because there is a cost of following Jesus. But there is much greater reward. So I learned at a young age that sometimes the world could be a hostile place for Christians. And folks, it's becoming more hostile for Christians. And so it took me a while to grow in courage. But if I can grow in courage, then anybody can grow in courage. Nonetheless, while I was in this state over a couple of years, I discovered the grace of God. I found out that God still loved me even though I had let Him down. And even though I'd had times when I was embarrassed about my faith, I want to encourage you, God still loves you even if you let Him down. And I found Isaiah 1 verse 18 to be particularly encouraging at such times as this where I let the Lord down. It says, come now, let's settle this. Or the King James Version says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you've let the Lord down, take heart, because the Lord has not let you down. God has not rejected you for your failures or your faith struggles. If you're struggling with your faith today, God is not pushing you away. He's drawing you to Himself. God is a good, good God, and He wants you to win and overcome in your battles. God is for you. He's not against you. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're going through. God knows that it's sometimes really hard for you at home. God knows that you want to stand your ground, but you feel sometimes intimidated. That's just how it is. And it doesn't help perhaps for you because you don't perhaps have all the right answers to the questions that people ask sometimes. And so possibly like me, you felt ashamed about your faith. So you've ended up hiding it from your family and from friends. However, if you are finding it hard to shine for Jesus, remember that you're not the only one. Been there, done that. Probably everybody has in this room at some point. Even the Apostle Peter denied knowing the Lord. So others are going through the same thing as you. And Jesus even told us that the world would be hostile to people who follow Him. Nonetheless, don't give up. If you've let the Lord down, don't give up. If you've been embarrassed by your faith, don't throw in the towel. Stay the course. Breakthrough is coming for you. Jesus said, here on earth, you will have some trials. Come on, what's the word? Many. Who's got many trials today? Then you're normal. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But then Jesus says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And part of the good news about Jesus is that the victory Jesus had over the world in His life becomes the victory for us in our own life. I'll say it again. Part of the good news about, this is all about identifying with Christ. Part of the good news about Jesus is that the victory Jesus had over the world in His life becomes the victory for us in our own life today. So if you don't give up, you will break through the fear of people. I did. If you don't give up, you will break through the fear of people. Your courage will grow and you will throw off those shackles of intimidation. I'm hoping this is encouraging you today. I would like to say that an angel appeared to me and touched my lips with holy fire. And I suddenly became bold and courageous for Jesus, and I was never ashamed again. I've actually never seen an angel, although some say I'm married to one. Amen. But I've never seen, you know, Gabriel or anything like that, one of those kind of angels. So that never happened for me. But for me, it was a process of Jesus working in my life, and that's how it's going to be for you. Christian life is a process. We grow in the grace of God. But that process of growing in the grace of God requires us to do certain things. So in the ups and downs of my Christian walk, I started to grow in God's Word, the Bible. That's why it's really important to read your Bible. It really is. It's got to be something we do each day. And I did that. And I was smart enough to know that I needed to read the Bible, and so do you. Also, listen intently to what the pastor was saying. There's always something you can learn about Jesus when you come to church. Often it's an attitude thing. If you come with that attitude to learn, you will learn. If you're really switched off, you'll go away exactly the same as you came. So you've got to come with that wow attitude and you'll learn stuff about Jesus. I participate in communion. I really think communion is very, very important. Remind ourselves of what Christ did on the cross all the time. Christ died for me. Christ saved me. He set me free. That's what communion is really all about. We're going to do that in just a moment. I did pray. It's really important to pray, to connect with God. I wasn't a great prayer, but I had a go, you know. I prayed. And I also got filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody mentioned about wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. You know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues is a wonderful gift from God, and that helped me tremendously. You've got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And something else too, which people don't talk much about, I also engage my brain. I engage your thinking. You know, let's not be embarrassed about thinking. We're followers of Jesus, but Christians need to engage the brain. It's faith and your brain together. And I consider how much it cost Jesus to save me from my sins. I thought about how Jesus is not ashamed of knowing me. So how could I be ashamed of knowing him? I considered the way of the world and how people were living their lives. And I could see for myself that the world was not and is not doing very well at all. I concluded that the good news of Jesus is intellectually reasonable and is indeed the only way a person can be made right with Almighty God. These are the things we do so we can grow and become courageous. And I eventually came to the same conclusion as the Apostle Paul, who said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who..." Can you remember what it says? Believes. See, I'm trying to get you to learn that verse. I've cut it down a little bit there. There's no other name under heaven by which a person can be saved. Now, I'm not naturally a brave person. It doesn't come natural. I have a severe allergic reaction to pain. Particularly if it involves my nose. If you're going to punch me, don't hit me on the nose. I like to have friends, not enemies. I really do. I prefer friends. I don't want to have enemies. But I eventually was able to make the decision that I will never shy away from the good news of Jesus Christ ever again, or his call upon my life. And you can make that decision. You can do that. And it's not always easy. I haven't always found it particularly easy in certain situations because I'm not naturally brave. But greater is he who is in me than... Our courage comes from the Lord. And over the years, particularly in my younger years, not so much these days, people tend to leave me alone. I don't know if it's my look on my face, I don't know. But over the years, I've had a few tough times. And as a result of sharing my faith. And you will have some tough times too. People will swear at you. Somebody might want to hit you. It's part of being a Christian. And that's all okay. In my younger days, I had a few guys who wanted to hurt me. I've had a few death threats. I've had death threats while pastoring this church. I told the elders, don't do that. No, sorry. we've had people say they're going to throw firebombs in our church, you know. We've had lots of ridicule. I've had lots of ridicule of all kinds. Different situations through the years. One time I got chased through the city of Perth, down Hay Street Moor, by a group of skinheads because they wanted to hurt me for wearing a sandwich board. That was probably the thing that set them off. Then encouraged people to turn to God. I think it had actually turn or burn on it. So, but they got angry, and so they chased me through the city. With a sandwich board on, it was very heavy. But fortunately, I can run very fast when I have to. I may not be naturally brave, but I'm a very fast runner. But God's been faithful to me. He has in every instance. God is my shield and great reward. And God is faithful to you too, everybody, this year. He is your shield and great reward. So stand up for Jesus. Amen. So we know, I'm nearly finished, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And the whole world needs to know about Jesus Christ and what he has done. But if we don't tell them, how on earth will they ever know? In fact, this is what the first chapter of Romans is all about. In the first half of the chapter of Romans, Paul introduces the good news about Jesus. And we've just spoken about that. That's the theme for his entire letter. But then in the second half of the first chapter of Romans, oh, it's terrible reading. Terrible reading. You need to read it. Terrible reading. Because Paul paints a graphic picture that depicts the mess that the world is in. It's almost like he was writing for 2017. And Paul does this because he wants you and me, the readers, to know what God has saved us from. Because sometimes you can be in church for so long, you forgot that you were even a sinner once. And today the world is still in a catastrophic mess and will continue in that situation until Jesus calls time out on planet Earth. And we're not here as Christians to point the finger at people because we were once part of that catastrophic mess ourselves. But somebody told us about Jesus. Somebody told us the good news about Jesus Christ. And we escaped by believing that good news. And so today we've got an obligation to pass that message on to others. However, if we are ashamed of the good news about Jesus, then other people will never know that there is a way for them to be right with God. Really? Because you won't tell them. Those people who intimidate you, even your family, work colleagues, those people who are hostile to you, they actually need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They need you not to be ashamed. The stakes are high. And everyone desperately needs to be right with Almighty God before the return of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they will go to a lost eternity. So in conclusion, I encourage you to be courageous for Jesus. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Shine for Jesus, speak up for Jesus, and live for Jesus. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Let's pray. Come on, everybody, let's pray. Just want to ask a question while we're just praying. I'm going to read that scripture, then I'll ask you the question. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Saving everyone who believes. Saving everyone who believes. Question why we just close our eyes and we're just praying right now. We're just coming before God. Question, do you believe in Jesus? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Are you right with God? Are you right with God? If you were to die today, will God welcome you into heaven? Are you right with God? Do you believe on Jesus Christ? Will you believe on Jesus Christ? God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by doing good works. But paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone, including you, who trusts in him alone, will have eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Do you believe in Jesus? And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, before we receive communion, I just want to give you an opportunity to believe in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. You need to be born again. That's the good news. You've heard from people today who believe in Jesus. They're going to be baptized at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Why don't you be like them and believe in Jesus? And if today you're saying, yes, I want to put my trust in Jesus. I want to be right with God. That's you. I'd love to pray for you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, just lift your hand up really high so I can see it. Thank you. And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? Put it right up so I can see it. Down the back. Thank you. God bless you. Do you believe? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved today. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Can we pray for you? Put your hand right up so I can see it. Father, we just pray right now for those, Lord, are reaching out to you. They want to believe. They want to be right with God. You know everything about them and you love them to bits. And you've spoken to them today. Lord, you've spoken about your good news and they realize, Jesus, that you died for their sins. And Lord, even today as they reach out to you, we pray that you'll forgive them and cleanse them and make them right with Almighty God. We pray, Lord, today they will be born again in Jesus' name. And still with every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you've been embarrassed. You're under pressure at work, under pressure maybe even at home from your loved ones for your faith. And it's so hard. So hard for you. I'd love to pray for you. And if today this message has resonated with you, you're saying, yeah, that's me. Would you pray for me? I want to grow in my courage and in faith. Would you say a prayer for me? Absolutely. Be delighted to. Just give me a quick wave of your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lots of people. Okay, God bless you. Down the back. Thank you. God bless you, darling. God bless you. And Father, we just pray. Come on, everybody pray. And some of you today, you know, as I spoke this message, some of you can remember what it was like for you. It's not like that now for you because you've grown in the grace of the Lord Jesus, but you do remember. And let's just pray for one another right now in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray for courage. Pray for those, Lord, who've just raised their hand. We pray for courage to shine down upon them. We pray you fill our brothers and sisters' hearts with courage. We pray for peace. And we pray, Lord, for people today, Lord, as they've raised their hands, Lord, they're making a decision that, Lord, they want to continue growing in the Lord, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray, Lord, as they devote themselves to you, their courage will come and they'll become strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus. We pray for them that, Lord, they will be able to shine for Jesus. We pray for them that they'll be able to stand up for Jesus. And we pray for them that they'll be able to live for Jesus in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we pray for even right now for those people who are persecuting them. We pray for them that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And everybody said, Amen.